T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. And we're back. We're in our new studio home.
We're in our palatial estates.
Our old new state studio home.
How are you doing?
I feel good. You feel like you... It looks
you
like
sound
you're
echoey.
Over there. It looks like you're over there and you're a little caught off
guard.
We're
all by this year. We're just going to go through some new changes.
The sounds of our new digital studio.
I got to get used to this sound because everything is different. Things mm-hmm. are seeing sound like we went to a new age.
Yeah.
Crisp. We got a lot of people here. Oh. A lot of things. We're worried.
Engineers look a little frightened back
They're a little frightened. Everybody's here because we are the inaugural kickoff.
We're trying to figure out where this echo may be coming from.
Did you hear the echo also?
A little bit.
So hopefully the listeners don't hear it.
From the well I live in.
I'm in the bathroom. We're broadcasting mm-hmm. from our new mm-hmm. studio inside the bathroom.
That's right. That's right. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it.
Is it early morning?
Going in well. Yeah. All right.
You hear it?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the demise of my
live radio?
Houston Astros, or do you want to talk about
what demise of your Houston Astros? You know, that's a good baseball team. They're really good baseball teams.
A great game.
Two very good baseball teams. And if you're going to end up beating Justin Verlander, who he gave up less than one run in his last. What is it, six starts?
He had not given up in an elimination game. He had not given up a run in 29 innings.
Yeah. And you go against your team's ace, and you get knocked out that way. You can't feel – you're going up against one of an all-time juggernaut. At least, if you're a Boston fan, which I'm not a Boston – I mean, they're all right. You're not the Mariners, where you had the best record and you didn't make it to the World Series.
Yeah,
so at least
true.
Boston can say they made it to the World Series. And oh, by the way, another Boston team makes it to a World Championship run.
I will say this, good for David Price. And they came up with, he pitched awesome.
Oh, he did. Did you hear what he said to his, said to Buster Olney?
No.
He said, I found something in the bullpen. And Buster Olney goes, what was it? He says, I'm not telling you. What the heck does that mean?
Steroids.
What did you find in the bullpen?
Steroids.
Drugs.
He found the cream and the clear and the needles.
I mean, it's kind of like the golf swing. Have you ever had been out on the golf course?
Had a little breakthrough?
Ooh, I know
just,
what it is.
Did just a little rotation or a little turn, a little something changed, and you're like, oh, I'm shooting the best round ever.
I know exactly what it is. What? Game 3, he was raking the bullpen mound. He found the rake. He found the rake in the... In the dugout there, the bullpen there.
He found the rake. Mm-hmm. The rake.
And he started raking him. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, enough with
Are
that
you upset
then.
About it? I mean,
no,
personally
no, no, no,
upset?
No. It was easy enough to digest that they weren't going to win that game. So I'm okay with that. So then I just turned my attention to the Portland Trailblazers saying, suck it, LeBron! And
We're
sending him
now.
To L.A. packing with a loss. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love that.
I didn't get to watch the finish. Okay. I did fall asleep.
One thing that we will talk about
like
this
4 game,
minutes
left, I fell asleep.
That's the important part of a basketball
well,
game.
Well, you didn't miss
NBA.
Much, though. I mean, I feel
at that point, I felt we were under control.
Yeah, you kind of were. I watched until the end. They didn't really get back to the point to really challenge it, I don't think. Got to 5 or 6 towards the end, but never got further than that.
Like the 3-minute mark is where you're sitting there going, are they going to blow this? And then the Blazers ended up pulling it out. But we will dive into the game a little bit later here.
Okay.
But I did want to... I was a little disappointed that TNT, you saw Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles were trying to get to Moda Center for the ceremony that they did for Paul Allen. And I thought it was unfortunate that they didn't do that. How do you know they were in the pregame?
Oh, they said that they were trying to?
Yeah, remember when they cut in? Or did
I didn't watch the pregame.
Okay. Well, at the very beginning, they were trying to cut in because they're like, oh, hey, here come the starting lineups. And they were thinking that they were going to do a tribute to Paul Allen.
Oh, that part. Yeah, and that's I see what you're talking about.
They were just listening to Mark Mason announce the starting lineups.
And all they did was focus on LeBron's starting introduction, and then they cut out.
And then they were like, okay, this is just a starting lineup. We're going to leave.
Yeah.
And so they went back into the studio because they realized they weren't going to do anything for Paul Allen at that point. But from everything that I heard from the people that were at the game, and I saw some videos in the tributes, it was very well done, and it was actually sprinkled throughout the entire course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So during timeouts and stuff, they were playing Jimi Hendrix. They were playing Paul Allen in the Underthinkers, which is his band's name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good little name for your band.
The Underthinkers.
The Underthinkers. And then they did a spotlight on his seat with a white hat and a rose, which I thought was very fitting for Paul Allen. I hope they just have it empty the whole time.
The whole all year, all three of those seats?
Yeah, well, it was Paul Allen and his security.
His security guys.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Who is the guy in the red suit?
That is Ron Sloy.
I have no idea. Is he Portland Ken?
Yeah.
He's a Ken doll.
They found him a couple of years ago.
Who is he? What does he do here?
Okay. I will try to tell you. He's a businessman.
I'm assuming he's some sort of wealthy businessman here. He's
very wealthy.
Okay.
I believe his home was the one, if you're driving on like 405, you know, the house that had the JK25, Jerome Kersey 25 tribute Christmas lights during Christmas season.
I don't drive over there very often, okay, so I wouldn't know that.
Well, that was his home.
Okay.
He was friends with Jerome. He's a big Blazer fan. Wealthy guy in the area.
He's very tan.
Very tan.
I would bet he has a booth at his house. Yeah. I would think. Full-time access to the booth.
I would say that man has got a ton of money and is a world traveler.
Okay.
And
anybody know what he does? Anybody?
I knew it, forgot it.
Exciting.
Does seem like a job for the text line, doesn't it? I feel like we have some sleuths out there that could help us out.
Yeah, there's people that know who Ron Sloy is that are out there.
Seems like a nice guy. Did a little tribute to the TNT.
Yeah.
He was on.
Did you just get echoey now?
I've been echoey.
My gosh.
Like Uber Echo.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, they have anytime they're in Portland, he has a little deal with the TNT crew where Kenny and Charles, they love poking at Ron Sloy and saying what's up to him. So
text line already coming through. He's a financial advisor.
Oh, okay. All right. No, there you go.
This guy's
great. He's got great.
So he
teeth.
Makes money making money for other people.
He's a money making man.
Golly.
Good teeth.
It's
good hair.
It's great to be him.
Tan skin.
Sharp dresser.
Did he have a side piece with him? Is he married?
I would.
Are we talking firearms or women here?
No, attractive ladies. I think there's probably an attractive lady sitting with him.
Both,
maybe multiple.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'll go with either one.
I've seen those stickers that say Oregonian on the back of people's rigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to Oregon, bud. Welcome to Oregon. All right, we got a locked and loaded show. We will talk Blazers and Lakers because we got some surprising performances last night, both good and bad surprising performances in the Blazers opener. We do have our textual relations football Q&A. Get them lined up because there's something on the line today.
We're gonna give out our fun shirts.
Wow, way to really sell the excitement on that.
I sold it yesterday. I'm trying to temper the... I'm excited because there's only a handful of these in the entire region. And if you want to earn your Dusty and Cam P1 shirt,
I like it.
You got to get your football questions and fire them up because we're going to make sure if we like it and we're going to kind of... It's not just vote on it, but we're going to say, hey, this is a great question. And then you're going to get your own custom Dusty and Cam P1 shirt.
That's right. We do have Dusty and Cam P1 shirts that will go to the best text in football Q&A. So be ready for that. Joel Klatt, as always, will join us at 7:30. Fox Sports College Football Analyst. I shouldn't say always because just last week he didn't join us.
We're crossing our fingers.
And time zones are an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Time zones are confusing.
He forgot. But he did go on Isaac and Suk. Did you hear me? What he jumped on with Isaac and Suk?
I did.
Filled in phenomenally. They didn't talk about any football at all.
They didn't?
No. He talked about other stuff.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, Joel's good for that stuff too. Yeah. And then we'll have our weekend, Would You Rather, at 8 a.m. A little surprise edition of that. And then Alex Brink will join us in studio. Washington State color analyst.
He will join us as the Palouse is getting ready for game day. And boy, Coug fans are more ready than ever. But right now, let's get the show on the road, shall we?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, so on this date in sports history, 2014, DeMarco Murray became the first player to rush for 1,000 yards in each of the first seven games of the season. You'd think that like Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, they would have reached the feat of rushing for 100 yards in each of the first seven games of the year. But no, it was DeMarco Murray back in 2014, the first person to ever do it.
Now out of the league, DeMarco Murray.
Right.
That's how quickly it happens when you have a great offensive line, how good that offensive line was for the Cowboys at the time. And then he goes off to Philly and then goes off to Tennessee and then he goes off out of the league.
Yeah, this is, he rushed for 913 yards in those first seven games. He finished with 1,845 in the remaining nine games of the year. That's how hard it is to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. Think about that. Like, mm-hmm. the 2,000-yard seasons, DeMarco Murray rushed for 100 yards in each of the first seven games and wasn't able to get to 2,000.
It's good.
Incredible. And he was not injured that year either. All right, where we start, the Blazers. Knock off the Lakers, send LeBron packing. It's amazing how his dunks are framed, as you would have thought the Lakers would have won this game, but it was surprising performances from the Blazers that pull out the W. Dusty and Cam, 613 on the Fan. All right, the Portland Trail Blazers on pace to go 82-0, Mr. Cleland.
What's the number again? Tell me the numbers.
82-0.
No.
No, that's what it's going to be.
No, the significant numbers. What are the significant numbers?
18 in a row.
18 in a row
on opening nights.
Did you know the last person to beat the Lakers? I'm the Lakers. I just gave it away. Dang it. Let me start over.
Be the worst comedian ever.
I thought about doing stand-up for 30 seconds. No, the Lakers were the last time to beat the Blazers in Moda Center in 2000. I heard that stat from Shaq last night.
Yeah.
From Kenny.
Shaq and the Lakers came in 2000 and beat the Blazers in the home opener back
in
2000.
That's been.
I know. But that's a great run. It's impressive really to see a team have that sort of consistency, even though they sucked for about 4 or 5 years in that stretch, too.
So 16 in a row versus the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run.
Yeah. And everybody thought that it would come to an end when LeBron showed back up. Mm-hmm. But this is the most LeBron thing ever, and people expecting the Lakers to come out firing. Did you not see Miami when he went down there every single year that he was in Cleveland, how they start a year kind of slow? Everybody kind of feels themselves out. It's Settle tough in. To play with a guy like LeBron James at the beginning of the year.
Wait a minute. You just said it's tough to play with a guy like LeBron James.
At the beginning of the year when you're trying to find your role in your rhythm when you're playing with the best player in the world? Yeah.
They were terrible from three. If they shot any threes or made any threes last night, the Lakers would have played better, but they were terrible shooting.
And that's going to be the downfall of this team if you look at it. That's what we said coming into the year, right, is who's going to shoot for that team. Yeah. It's not going to be Rondo. It's not going to be Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram thought it was going to be him for a while. They don't have an outside threat, and they started the game, 0 of 15 from 3?
Not very good.
No, that's dreadful.
Not very good.
And that kind of leads to the analytics part of basketball, which is either get to the rim or shoot threes, and the mid-range game is dead. Because if you look at the way that the Lakers played that game, the Blazers, just by simply knocking down threes and not even at an incredible clip, I mean, the Blazers shot 35% from three. That was the difference in the game.
Well, I don't even care about the Lakers anymore. Let's talk about the Blazers and how they came out to an opener.
Well, you've been asking for it since he left town. Since Alan Crabb left, you said, where's the punch off the bench?
Well, I was told by all the pundits that it didn't matter that Alan Crabb left, that there was no reason that we needed a shooter to come off the bench.
I think people said there was no reason to have a shooter come off the bench.
Yeah, no, they were saying there was no value in having that shooter come off the bench. It wasn't that big a deal. Alan Crabb was just one of those guys, easily replaceable, no problems. Hey, did you find somebody that could shoot off the bench?
Well, last night they did.
Certainly
did. And his name is Sauce Castillo.
Saucy.
Nick Stauskas comes out. Oh, my God.
What is his nickname?
Sauce Castillo.
But I'm just going to call him the Sauce, because if the Sauce comes off the bench like that and gives us a nice, tasty jump shot.
Do you know the origin of the Sauce Castillo?
Yeah, it was. He was doing. They were playing a game when he was in Brooklyn.
With Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And the closed captioning, Nick Stauskas, the closed captioning corrected it to Sauce Castillo.
Yeah, they it was like Stauskas steals, and it combined it to Sauce Castillo.
So his nickname is Sauce.
Yeah.
Sauce Castillo went 4-for-4 from three right off the bench.
It was tasty.
Knocked down his first six shots, and then finished the night with these as the second leading scorer with 24 points off the bench. Now, it is one game, but that is exactly why Neil O'Shea brought in both Nick Stauskas and Seth Curry. Mm-hmm.
Shooters.
You got to have them off the bench. And think about the offensive firepower we saw on the floor. We had one unit of Lillard, CJ Stauskas, Moe, and Nurkic.
Yeah, it was a very small lineup.
But it's long enough to where you can play, and then you can still have your rim protector in the game with spreading the floor with three guys that are legitimate knockdown shooters in Dame, CJ, and Nick.
Well, it was different than last year because, you know, you had Shabazz Napier went through his big shooting slump at the end of the season, but now you're not going to have that. You're going to have multiple different shots. That was exciting to see. It was good to see guys being able to come off the bench and score. And it was also exciting, which I think it just came clear, bright clear from the first shot to the first time I saw him come out on the court, the physicality, the change. Zach Collins is the best big man the Blazers have right now.
Better than Nurkic, huh?
Yes, yes. Yes, more versatile. He will eventually grow and get more size. Nurk is still struggling to finish around the rim. I thought I would see a change. He's still not the shot blocker I would like to see. Zach Collins comes in and blocks shots. He runs the floor. He shoots threes. He has a little bit of dog in him that I like to see. There's a little bit of an edge. That's exciting. I mean, from one game immediately, I feel like I could tell that this kid has a punch. I mean, come on. Myers Leonard comes in. It was not even the same conversation. It's just completely different kid out there. And I'm excited for Zach Collins. I am. He just got my sports pants tight for the Blazers.
Yeah, Collins is gonna. I mean, we look at Zach Collins and we look at the player that he could grow into and become. I mean, that was a flyer that the Blazers took, knowing that it would be a project. Mm-hmm. And if he continues to grow into his body and his game continues to grow, yeah, absolutely.
Most upside of anybody on that team.
Oh, no doubt. Right now.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
Clearly.
No doubt. But you got to feel good, though, too, knowing that you have Yusuf Nurkic and a Zach Collins there.
Of course. It's not a downplay on what Yusuf will bring. We kind of already know. I kind of feel like I know what Yusuf is. And if Coach Stotts wants him to shoot more threes, which he did, he put up a three and it wasn't great. If he wants him to be more versatile around the rim, okay, he's a big body. He's going to affect shots. He just doesn't, for a big man, finish as strong as I would like to see him. Doesn't get up off the ground as often as I would like to see him. Zach does play off the ground.
Still young. Yeah, and both those guys really young. One thing about Myers Leonard, you mentioned Myers very quickly. He didn't score. He didn't shoot.
He didn't do much.
But the one thing that Myers Leonard had last night that we haven't seen, I don't know, ever from Myers Leonard, he didn't look scared.
No, you know what I mean? He picked his role. I mean, he fit into it.
Like every time we've seen Myers Leonard, it's always been like a guy who's looking over his shoulder, waiting for him to get pulled or screw up. Now, he didn't shoot, but he didn't look unconfident in his game.
He had a couple good passes and came in and played all right. I mean, if your roles, you've been told by probably Coach Stotts, hey, come in, be a big body, set some screens, be able to spell Yusuf for a little bit. We don't need you to put up threes. We don't need you to have all those jump shots because we have more shooters on the roster.
Yeah. I do like what I saw from the Portland Trail Blazers last night. It is one game, but you have, like you mentioned, Zach Collins coming out and adding a little bit of that nasty, adding a little bit of that physicality, when you have a team that can overcome. CJ McCollum was dreadful to start the game.
Yeah.
I mean it was bad that he was kind of forcing up those leaners and those fadeaways, and he was missing everything. And you could afford to overcome that because you had somebody who was able to come off the bench like Stauskas and knock down a few shots.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard wasn't the most efficient that we've seen him, and it was not nearly at his best, but you still have a first-team All-NBA guard in that backcourt, and the Blazers were able to put together a win against the best player in the world in a Lakers team that is far from a finished product, but it's a good way to start the year.
If I was grading it, I could see that CJ was playing against longer players, Brandon Ingram. He's going to struggle because Dame and CJ and Rajon Rondo, what they did to him and what Rajon did to the Blazers as a whole last year versus the Pelicans, in the playoffs. He's still a tough defender. He's as good as guard defender, on-ball defender as there is in the NBA still. Yeah. You could tell the difference when those guys are stuck. When it's Dame and CJ, they can't get their shots up. You got longer guys. You need to have off-the-ball shooters, and that's what they had last night. They had a couple guys like Sauce. He just came in and got it done.
Look, let's not overreact to one game.
You know, it's an important game, and not overreact to it, but no. You need to embrace it.
Exactly. But take it for what it was last night. LeBron came in. It was a celebration of LeBron James. 120 credentialed members of the media were in Moda Center last night.
Adam Silver was in the building.
They spoiled his night, and they got a win on Paul Allen night. It wasn't LeBron night. It was Paul Allen night last night. And the Blazers handed it to him.
Did you see how many LeBron jerseys were in the house and how many Laker jerseys were in the house?
I tried not to. I don't recall that. I was not jersey watching. Gosh, that's a disappointment. Yeah. It's a disservice. Did you?
I jersey watched.
Was there a lot?
It was a lot.
Oh, damn.
How about the bros behind the Lakers bench in all like custom yellow t-shirts? So did you see those guys?
I did see those guys. Those guys were hard to miss.
Why is a Lakers fan so easily discernible other than any fan?
Maybe the yellow.
Yeah. Well, hey there, Warrior the fan. Why don't you? Hey
I'm a Ducks fan too.
That's what I'm asking.
Hey there, Warrior fan.
Yellow stands out.
Yeah, blue. Blue, you kind of guys, you embrace your blue.
You guys.
Well, that's guys. You guys is you winner guys.
Yeah, leave us to the black and red where we just kind of
best color combination in all the NBA.
Blazers win, spoil LeBron's party. One other note from that game: how bad is Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo Ball. He made a three.
The guy I was most impressed with, Josh Hart, looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
No one talks about him. He was pretty good.
Kuzma's good. They got some talent. They got young talent. They got big guy. I mean, Brandon Ingram, though, needs to mix in a protein shake.
Yeah, he does.
Good Lord.
LeBron James.
I'm like, get in the weight room.
This could be something where you mentioned Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, these young guys.
Kuzma.
Who've got talent. They've got this upward trajectory. I think Kuzma may be a little bit different from this because he's a little bit more consistent of those other guys, you know, that we're saying. But this could drive LeBron crazy, and it could cause Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo to fight their teammates if this thing goes to sideways. And sign me up for Lakers fighting each other. I, for one, would appreciate
What's the number one overreaction you would take from the Lakers immediately after that game? Not making the playoffs. Can't play together. Gutting the roster.
No.
I would bet that roster is not the same come January 22nd. Free agency.
Trade deadline.
Yeah, they moved that trade deadline up because of the DeMarcus Cousins fiasco at the All-Star game a couple years ago.
I want to see what... I'm gonna reserve judgment on the Lakers till Christmas. When the real NBA season starts.
Well, we've seen LeBron do this with the Cavs where, like, remember in January last year, everyone's like, they're not even going to make the Eastern Conference Finals because they're dropping all these games and he wasn't playing that much. He's fine. He knows how long the season is.
He'll figure it out. But guess what? They're 0-1. One team's
and
on
the
pace
Blazers?
To go 82-0. The other's 0-82.
Banner.
55305 is the Better You Today text line. All right, football Q&A. You got football questions. We got football answers. And there's something on the line this week. Best football question gets a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Every Friday we do it during our textual relations. It is football Q&A, questions and answers. And today, a very special treat is on the line. And actually, moving forward on Football Fridays, the football Q&A, we will have something new to be giving you.
Oh.
It is the Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt.
Yeah, it is. And bear in mind, this is a high design that you and I put together. We're talking, this is like some Louis Vuitton stuff.
Well,
this is super high end.
Not only that,
come on.
This did not come out of the 1080 The Fan merchandising budget. This is Dusty and Cam coming out of our own pocketbooks.
We, folks, you and I both paid for this.
I wrote you a check and you looked at me like I had three heads because like, you're like, why don't you just Apple Pay me? And I was like, don't use it.
Yeah.
Don't want the man watching me.
I've been wanting to do this for probably what? How have I been on this for like 6 months? And we're so cheap around here. I was like, forget it. I'm buying them.
Yep.
Because I want our fans to be P1s because we got to ask, what is a P1? What does a P1 mean? Dusty, what is a P1?
It is program one on your radio dial. So you get in your car, you push one, and it's 1080 The Fan because you listen all the time and you love it. That's a P1. Or if you just listen all the time, it makes you P1 of our station. So 55305, the best football question as arbitrarily picked by us.
Arbitrarily.
We'll be getting a P1 t-shirt and we'll be giving one away every single Friday on a football Friday to a P1, and you can rock your P1 pride around the great Rose City or wherever the hell you live. Okay, let's get to them though, shall we?
Oh, but I have one caveat. Okay. When you do get your shirt, because we'll have that, you're going to have to put it out on Twitter or any social media. You're going to have to hashtag Dusty and Cam. Let us know. We're going to make sure that you get that super recognition as an ultra P1. You move up to ultra P1 status. Mm. Elite P1 status.
Wow. Ultra P1. I like
ultra
that.
Ultra elite. We're going ultra elite.
Let's add more adjectives to it.
Yep.
All right. This text, with Derek Anderson starting Sunday, does he become the most successful quarterback to come out of the state of Oregon? 55305. Like, are we talking like born in the state of Oregon? Because I think Dan Fouts came out of the state of Oregon. He was pretty good.
Pretty good. Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Wasn't Norm Van Brocklin pretty good too? Good.
The Flying Dutchman, another Hall of Famer. But if you're talking NFL careers, and born in the state of Oregon. Was Norm born in the state of Oregon?
That I don't know.
I have no idea my 1950s NFL where Norm Van Brocklin was born. Mm-hmm. But Derek Anderson's up there, man. His career has been, he's Pro Bowl quarterback, led the Cleveland stinking Browns to the playoffs. That's a pretty...
It's pretty good.
Norm Scapus, Van Brocklin.
He's got to be like the biggest on the other side of the river.
Born in South Dakota, Norm Van Brocklin. So not an Oregonian.
No, you got to be born here.
I think if you're born a quarterback, born and raised, Fouts is from California.
Is the playground where I spend most of my days.
Okay, let's just not start singing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song. Sorry. I think, are we down to Kellen Clemens then and Derek Anderson? Well, then I guess the nod goes to Derek Anderson.
Do we temper this at least 5 years and see how Justin Herbert does?
Matt Moore had a run.
We should. California kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, 55305. Derek Anderson probably is the pride of the Poos. P1 Anthony, if you had one play and formation to call your number, what would it be?
I like this question.
This is a good question.
And actually, I want to hear Dusty's answer for a receiver, too.
What is yours?
Mine is green right slot, F motion, Fox 2, Y Poco.
Oh, you little post corner route, huh?
Yeah, baby, and we're running that right on the goal line again. I had two touchdowns versus Carolina Panthers in 2001 on that play alone. In week four of the season. Gosh, dang it! I should know this. Week four. Yeah, we had two different calls. We either called it scissors or we called it Waipoko, but it was all based upon how the safety sat on the slot. It's my favorite red zone play, and it gets the play action of Fox 2 protection with the F motion, bringing up the backers and making sure your slot's on the other side. So we make sure we get the safety over on the other side of the hash. And then that has me one-on-one on the corner, which has got to have a half field. And it just sets the corner up for failure. And I love it. And it gives me sports pants, Jones.
Man, I thought you were going to say just power. You get to double team, get off to the next level and go.
Well, power is great. Power is great. But I'm calling my number. This is my play.
Yeah.
If you had my play to win a football game, of course it's going to be power.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be solo right west, F motion. Okay. 96 power.
And then you just bulldoze your way into the touchdown. Mine's, verbiage really doesn't matter, but Steel Left Hip Hop 676 Zorro, which is bunch formation. Mm-hmm. You send a little H in motion across and back. And you just run mesh, basically, across the other side.
Across a little man beater.
But then you have a post on the back side holding the safety's eyes and a little Y leak into the seam there. You have mesh, post, mm-hmm. a little Y up the seam, got it. Zone beater, man beater, gets all of you, covers all your bases there. And then you run it out a bunch so you can run the football too. Everybody
like
takes fun. All right, that's my
That
favorite.
Is as football-y as we've ever been, and it was awesome.
You like that?
Yeah, it was like the when Gruden does the Spider Y2 banana.
Spider 2 Y banana.
Spider 2.
Spider 2 Y banana. All right, 55305. How does Oregon's change to a physical power run scheme affect perception of the team nationally? Because you are on the side of, and I agree with this, there's kind of, it's West Coast football's finesse football, right? Hasn't that always been the mantra?
Not always, but there was a change in the last probably, 20. Since about 2000, I would say probably mid-2000s, 2005, somewhere in there, yeah. there was a shift.
Yeah.
And it was all Oregon that did that. It shifted to the entire perception of the conference.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, it's always been quarterback conference, mm-hmm. and it's been offensive driven.
Yeah.
And then it really did, 2005, you're right, it kind of did get into that finesse football when I think it kind of started when Gary Croton came and then Chip Kelly, obviously. But how does when you have a Mario Cristobal style team mm-hmm. running the pistol, downhill running attack,
yeah.
big maulers up front, and it's not just Oregon anymore. It's Washington that's doing it. It's Stanford that has been doing it. Utah tries to do it, right?
No, they can do it.
Does that change the perception of this conference and this team nationally?
Those that follow it nationally, I don't know what that's going to mean. I think the last couple games that we've seen that have had super national recognition have been the games that Stanford and Oregon and Washington have played in, and all those games have been physical. Didn't look great for Stanford to jump over to Notre Dame, but what Oregon's been able to do against Stanford and then at Washington and then a chance this week, you're not going to see a lot of that from Washington State in their air raid style.
Yeah.
But Coach Cristobal, I mean, my mindset, and I look at what he's doing, it is as good as anything when it comes to football.
Yeah.
High, aggressive, downhill, physical, big hog mollies getting right after you.
All right, we got a new one. We got a new leader in the clubhouse to the Derek Anderson question. Neil Lomax. Neil Lomax is probably the best Oregon-born quarterback. And then Chris Miller, too. Had a very solid career.
Wasn't Joey born here too?
Joey was, but yeah. He's talking about NFL careers though. I mean, if you're talking college careers,
college and NFL combo. Isn't that fair to do a little bit of both?
Yeah, but the question was NFL. Yeah.
I got you, NFL quarterback. Yeah.
Neil Lomax. Sure. Yeah.
11 years, I think
down.
He did.
I feel very bad. I left out Neil Lomax because I was just thinking Oregon State. Yeah, I didn't think of Portland State.
Fort Vancouver.
Yeah. How are they doing?
Struggling.
Okay. Yeah. That's a tough one.
It's all right. First-year coach.
Yeah. All right. 55305. Football questions, football answers. A lot of them coming in on the Better You Today text line. We're going to give away a P1 t-shirt next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right. You need to go to, what is it, at Cam Cleland, at 1080 The Fan on the Twitter bots. Or, Buck, are you putting that on Facebook, too?
Tweeting it out as we speak.
All right. The P1 Dusty and Cam shirts are here. The best text that we will choose at our own discretion for football Q&A will get a P1 Dusty and Cam t-shirt.
And we kissed these things.
Excuse me?
We kept it simple.
Oh.
We kept it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
We kept it simple. We didn't go. We could have gone all Louis Vuitton on you.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it unique about this.
Yeah.
Okay? These are a custom. That's my favorite word when someone says custom.
They aren't they, but they are.
It's like the word organic now. Everybody just puts organic out there and says, oh, it's organic.
Yeah. It's pretty simple. We are stupid, so it's pretty easy for us to keep it
simple.
All right, 55305.
These are one of a kind, so you can't find these anywhere. You're not going to find them in stores. You're going to find them right out of our own pocket.
That's true.
Right to your back.
All right. This is a football text on the Better You Today text line. Why is Justin Herbert in all these conversations about the NFL draft boards for quarterbacks, but gets no love in the Heisman?
Because of a guy named Tua Tagovailoa.
Because if that was the case, if it was just because of Tua, it would be Tua, then Justin Herbert, and then somebody else. Like, you look down and Herbert's like fourth, fifth, maybe not even going to be invited to New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation.
And I think I saw the stat. Did you tweet that out on 1080 about his numbers matching up exactly with Marcus Mariota?
If you look at the side-by-side through as many games in Marcus's Heisman season, their numbers are identical in terms of yardage and touchdowns.
And I think it's the only thing that's hurting him is in the two games that were super national, which one was Stanford. I think if he wins that game versus Stanford, he's way up the board.
Yeah.
I think he's up the board, but it just didn't. There hasn't been a super Heisman moment for him. You know, everybody has that moment that you can see those huge gaudy numbers, the 400-yard passing game, the 5-touchdown throwing game, something like that, which still could happen. It could happen this weekend.
And we all know that the Heisman Trophy is the best player on the best team in college football.
Yes, it is.
You know, there is an element of that, and that's Marcus Mariota when he won. Remember, Oregon was in the college football playoff that year. You look at the guys that are ahead of him. Herbert has 60-1 odds. Jonathan Taylor, the running back at Wisconsin, is ahead of him. But then you look at Will Greer, stat machine, Dwayne Haskins, stat machine, and contender to win the title, Tua Tagovailoa, also a title contender. And then Kyler Murray, who plays an offense that's built for him to put up a bunch of numbers. And, you know, that Justin Herbert is not throwing for ungodly amounts of yards.
No.
It's just not it. That's not the style that Oregon is playing right now, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. 55305.
This is a good one. I this comes from P1 Zach. Cam, what gives you the most satisfaction? Or it could be anybody of you out there. It could be Dusty. It could be anything. Scoring a touchdown in a big game or coaching high school kids and watching them score in a big game.
Mm.
I've said this before. I got more enjoyment out of watching my kids. My biggest memory or my kids are watching a young man, whoever I'm coaching. I always get way more enjoyment out of seeing them succeed than anything I ever did. I played in big games. Most enjoyment I ever had is watching my two sons hit back-to-back home runs in Little League 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In a game that came down to the last inning in the sixth inning. That is, I'm telling you straight up, of all the games I've played in, okay, I've had some fun times. That, to me, was the most fun I've ever had at a sporting event. Is that weird? I don't know. But watching kids, and I get to see kids every week and coach them and see them have success after something you've taught them, 10 times the amount of enjoyment as I get if something that I've achieved.
It really
is. 10 times more.
It really is. When you're coaching, there's a bigger reward. I coached high school track when I first started working here, and I got more joy out of watching. We had a hurdler, a young woman named Cecily Russell, who went on to run in college, and watching her like go to the state finals and run in the state finals, that was more enjoyable and rewarding than scoring touchdowns or winning races and stuff like that. There is a different type of reward that you feel when you're coaching, or, you know, I can't wait till, as you said, watching your kids do it, you know, and starting watching them kind of grow from little mini athletes into these kids that are hitting back-to-back home runs. It most definitely, coaching is such a rewarding feeling, and especially when coaches do it for all the right reasons.
How about this one? The Better You Today text line. Question for both you guys. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree that Garner Minshew is having a better season than Justin Herbert? And I would agree with that.
Statistically, yes.
I would agree based upon the system.
Yeah.
If you want to be a great quarterback and you want to put up ungodly numbers, I mean, look at Luke Falk. Look at the guys that have played there at Washington State. Look at the kind of quarterbacks that Mike Leach has done. It is a numbers-driven system. If you like those elite kind of numbers that look really good on the stat line, no question.
If you think of Gardner Minshew, he has, and I wrote this down, he has one interception every 78 attempts. That's incredible.
That's really good.
To go, I mean, that's his average. He's thrown the ball over 313 times this year and has 4 interceptions. That's an incredible number to think about with Gardner Minshew. He's having a fantastic year and blowing away the expectations of people because he's a grad transfer from East Carolina, for goodness sakes. He was a guy that was going to go to Alabama basically as a grad transfer just to be a GA and sit as a third string quarterback. He is having a phenomenal year. I'd stop short than saying having a better year than Justin Herbert because of the things that Justin Herbert has been able to do. Both of them have one loss, you know, and that loss wasn't all Justin Herbert's fault.
And did you hear Mike Leach's?
Wasn't all Gardner Minshew's either.
Mike Leach's recruiting pitch to Gardner Minshew. Huh. He was getting ready to sign on as a backup for Alabama, and Mike Leach asked him, "Do you want to lead the country in passing?" And he's like, well, that actually does sound kind of good.
Well, let me ask you this. You want to lead the country in passing or what? Yeah, okay.
If you could come here and lead the country
just
in passing.
Just keep your clothes on. All right. All I ask.
Zach in Portland, best defense to run, 3-4, 4-3, 5-2, or does it matter offense wins games?
I am a odd front fan, and this goes back to my time with the Patriots. I also played under Lovie Smith and a lot of good defensive coordinators that ran a 4-3 in the Tampa, too. I am a huge fan of the odd front and a 34 defense with outside backers that can force and funnel to the inside. You got to have really good linebackers. When the Giants were good with Lawrence Taylor, they ran a 34 defense. It puts a little bit more pressure on your safeties, and that's good, but your linebackers have to cover. I'm just a monster fan of the kind of leverage that it takes from the outside backers to be able to funnel everything to the inside. I don't like teams being able to get to the outside on the corner, so it puts pressure on the backers. 34 defense for me.
Hmm. I like an odd front as well. I'm totally with you in that. Agreed.
Now, an odd front doesn't always mean there's odd front guys. It can be, right. It depends on, Washington runs a 34 defense, but they have a stand-up backer that looks like a four, but they always stem to it depending on how they get their backers, or if they go to a nickel defense and bring in another nickel corner or a nickel guy in the slot. It really is. If you think about remember the amoeba defense that the Patriots would run versus Drew Bledsoe?
Everybody stand up.
Stand up. You never knew who was where and what was going on, and but you got to your gaps and you had your leverage, and that's what I think that the 34 defense is always. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, you can have so many different looks, more dynamic.
Nose tackle too is what I like. Nose tackle that can take up the center, because if you have a center that's always active that can get to the backer or help on the double team, if you can take up like a Vince Wilfork or a Ted Washington back in the time that could eat your center up, it just makes it harder on the run game.
55305, better you today text sign. We got a bunch of really good football questions, and there's gonna be a t-shirt that is gonna be won. Dusty and Cam's P1 t-shirt. We'll give you the winner next. A lot of really good texts.
It's a good opening weekend.
Yeah. Coming up next hour, Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, but Hot and Cool is next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.